So when it comes to PR machines, few can compare to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that carefully selects his appearances, prepared for everything. The things we see on social media probably go through a pretty harsh vetting system. Everything that The Rock puts out there is usually accurate, correct, right for the moment. But last night, there's still some egg on his face. Dwayne The Rock Johnson showed up at Scotiabank Arena in front of the fans, Maple Leafs home opener, big moment. And I don't know if he went rogue here, but he decided he wanted to try and fire up the crowd. And, you know, one of the more common ways to fire up the crowd is to start a chant. So he went for it. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't know. Again, I don't know if this was in the moment, if he was taking it upon himself or he was told, hey, this is probably your move. But he went for it. But he got it wrong.
Got the clip. Roll it, Josh.
It dies out quickly soon after. And why did it die out quickly? Because that's not the chant at Scotiabank Arena. Of course, it's go Leafs, go. Now, whatever. Can get past this. It's not going to hurt The Rock's reputation. But someone could have helped The Rock in that moment.
Mm.
And that someone is Ailish Forfar.
I take zero responsibility for this, let me just tell you.
Why is that?
Because...
Well, I guess the context
is... You think would ever say something to The Rock?
Be like, hey, Rock. Hey, Dwayne. How did you address him?
Yes. The story of this is that I was hanging out with The Rock.
Yeah. So she sends a message to us, I think prior to the Go Leafs Go mishap or the Let's Go Leafs mishap.
Yes.
You say you're currently sitting with, I believe that was the words. I didn't know if it was hanging out. I don't know if it was a green room thing, but of course you're down at the rink. You're doing the in-game hosting this year with Scotty Willits. Shout out Scotty Willits. And you have a moment with The Rock. And you're preparing to do this little bit in between whistles.
I think The Rock has more security than Barack Obama has ever had in his life.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down Scotiabank Arena, the concourse, the elevators. He was in a private room all night. You honestly would have thought that, I don't know,
that's what I mean. He's always put in the position to succeed.
Outrageous. And nobody in the entire arena obviously knew that he was coming. He's here promoting his movie, Black Adam. And first of all, he gave away the most incredible prize. It was a trip to Hollywood, free season's tickets, upgrades in the seats. Like,
wow.
It was crazy.
He did that in the moment?
Yes.
Okay, so that was his priority,
right?
Obviously.
But all of a sudden... They're like, he goes, let's get this going. Like, let's get this right. And then he goes, let's go Leafs. And at that point, when he's like, excuse me, Dwayne, just pause. I know you have the mic and you're the largest man of all time. Can you just get the chant right? I'm like, let's go Leafs is now our chant forever. They won the game. It inspired the fans.
So in your brief conversation before that moment, you weren't like, hey, Rock.
My brief conversation with The Rock was he was walking. And I was like, Dwayne Johnson.
You said sitting with.
Okay, well, not everything I say is accurate, Justin. Well, I was just telling you that he was coming and it was going
to
be great.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous to say, hey, if you break into a chant, by chance, don't go with let's go Leafs, go with go Leafs, go.
Do you think this guy knows one thing about the Toronto Maple Leafs before arriving yesterday?
In front of Toronto Maple Leafs fans.
Whatever. You know what? I got to meet The Rock.
But that's The Rock. Like he prepares himself, I feel like. That's
he
why
did have
it's
a script.
Mishap.
There was a script handed.
You had a script?
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, this is
okay,
no,
Justin,
no blame on you
he
then.
He crumbled under
culpability
pressure.
Culpability on whoever created that script.
Yeah. No, the script
I
said.
I mean, that
the script said goalie.
Someone. Oh, okay.
In the moment, he panicked. It all happens.
So the only thing that really went wrong is you just need like a highlighter on goalie's go
yeah.
or something. Underscore
Regardless,
bold font.
I only hang out with movie stars now. I'm surprised I even came into work.
You did get a photo. With Rock.
I touched
the
him.
Rock. Why do I keep calling Rock?
First of all, he doesn't go by The Rock anymore. He goes by Dwayne Johnson. That's a different. We were told it's not The Rock. Do not say The Rock. It's Dwayne Johnson.
He's too old for The Rock now.
He's Dwayne Johnson.
Grown past that.
Dwayne Johnson. I had to keep telling myself. I got to take a photo with him. I got to caress his arm.
I will say he didn't make you look that small.
That is the rudest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, towards The Rock.
No, towards me. He's telling me that I'm large.
He's supposed to be this monster.
Justin, I looked comparable to The Rock is what you're saying. Oh, my God.
Not quite.
Yes. I'm leaving the show.
I think, is he like a ridiculously big man?
Justin, is he just jacked, or is he like a monster? He was wearing a child's medium shirt. He was popping out of the seams. I put my arm around him, and I barely got around his shoulder to take a photo. Oh, but I made sure I just get a little like, ooh, wow, yeah, he's fit. He was so nice.
You made sure to get the
You're going to get a photo with The Rock? I'm not going to hover hand him. I touched his arm.
That The Rock was fit.
Well, you know how sometimes you're like uncomfortable to take a photo with someone you don't like really want to like lean in? I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Made sure those delts were as hard as... Most people make it. Yeah, The Rock.
Anyway, it was really cool. That's the nickname. If you want to see it, I tweeted the photo out.
What I'm saying is he's not that big of an individual. Like Justin, he's not 7 foot.
He's huge.
Monster.
You're so.
He's just jacked.
He's my friend now, and I know all about how big he is. He's a monster. So
you'll defend.
I will. I just can't believe that you said that I looked moderately comparable size to him. It's the worst thing ever on this show. I just did a show with JD for a year and he never said anything that rude to me. Anyway, The Rock was there. The Rock messed up the chant, but maybe that's for the best. Maybe it's let's go Leafs from now on. He's a lovely person.
I mean, shout out to the crowd for not engaging in that, for knowing that it's not let's go Leafs.
Once again, what do you...
What do you mean, what are you going to do? Most crowds would just be like, yeah, let's do what The Rock says. But they're like, nah, we're just going to fade out because that's not right. Rock.
Everybody's face, though, was like, oh, no. Yikes. But what are you going to do?
See, that's what I mean. Like, it's knowledgeable, sophisticated.
Dwayne Johnson.
They knew that Dwayne did bad.
Yeah. Anyway, it was really cool. What a surprise. The players were shocked as well. I think Austin Matthews was asked post-game about, hey, a special guest on the Jumbotron. He wasn't talking about me. He was talking about The Rock. I was
just TV timeout, kind of minding my own business, and I look up and The Rock comes flying out of nowhere. It was pretty cool. Obviously, he got the building going pretty good, but it's pretty cool to see a guy like that come by and obviously get the crowd going. It was pretty sweet.
Even the stars can get starstruck. That's it.
Are you talking about yourself?
Austin Matthews.
Okay.
Didn't seem like it, though, on the ice.
No. We should probably get to the game.
Yeah.
There might have been a starstruck moment for Ilya Samsonov.
Mm-hmm.
I just got Samsonov down, and now we're switching back. But we will adjust. Professional broadcasters here. I think that was my story of the game. Of course, a 3-2 victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. Bouncing back after what was a difficult season debut in Montreal. I think... You know, were there any alarm bells sounding after Wednesday night? Maybe not quite, but when two soft ones go in on Samsonov after Matt Murray was beaten 4 times in the opener, yeah, maybe you're thinking, okay, this looks very familiar. This could be an issue again. But Samsonov settled in. Again, even the first goal was a nice play too. I believe Nick Dowd who buried. And it should have been a goal, but the thing is, it wasn't like a great shot. And Samsonov didn't really react very well. Of course, he was beaten clean by Marcus Johansson later. So not a great start, but he makes 15 saves over the last 2 periods on 15 shots. He settles in and he gives the Maple Leafs not just a quality start, not just, you know, hope that this guy can put it all together and play really, really well. But apparently a little starter intrigue right off the bat because Sheldon Keefe didn't name his starter for Saturday night.
There's no starter intrigue in my mind. Matt Murray's starting Saturday.
Why didn't he say it then?
Because it's the head games.
Why is he playing head games?
Because he can.
What do you mean? It's not like
there's Sheldon no doubt in my mind.
Sheldon
Matt Murray
a power trip guy.
Matt Murray starts Saturday night against his former team, just like Ilya Samsonov did last night. You need Matt Murray to get another opportunity. It's Saturday night's hockey night in Canada. It's Battle of Alberta. You got to get this guy in there again. Thursday night was a disaster for everybody. Wednesday night was a disaster for everybody. Mm-hmm. Give him another opportunity.
I tend to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I did take note of the fact that Sheldon Keefe, who has no reason to play games, as you mentioned, didn't name the starter.
Sure.
But anyway, the more important thing is that it could have been 0-for-2 in terms of goaltending starts, mm-hmm. although I don't think Matt Murray was that bad. But he turned it around. He played very well. And in a tight game, a game that, where the Leafs were trailing going into the mm-hmm. second period, had to play pretty tight in order to wait for that go-ahead goal from Austin Matthews, that he held firm, and the Leafs' defense played pretty well in front of him. So they've got something to build on there with Ilya Samsonov. And if the ball does go back to Matt Murray, it's his chance to match that performance. And again, you can't really, it shouldn't be contrived. You can't really manufacture a goaltending competition. But once someone lays down a strong performance, mm-hmm. it's on the other one, the presumed starter,
that's right,
to answer it.
And it might be closer than maybe we had expected, but look at how Matt Murray started Wednesday and kind of had a trailing off performance. And Samsonov started yesterday's game kind of opposite, tale of two different goalies, mm-hmm. right? You'd much prefer the goalie to be better late in the game, and that's what happened. But I don't think that I see a glaring gap at this point, and that's fine. Even though we had Wendell Clark on last week, and he said that maybe goalie competitions
aren't good.
Aren't the best way to start a season?
Yeah.
I think we'll see it for at least the next two games.
It is very interesting. They are very different goaltenders. And it's like, okay, they both come in as projects, both come in as gambles, both come in as goaltenders with high upsides potentially. But they are very, very different. One's won multiple Stanley Cups, showed that nerve right away, and is falling off a little bit in terms of his career trajectory. At least that's how it's been going. And then I think last night was a good reminder that Samsonov's a young kid who was only just recently drafted, who has not found his footing yet in the NHL, who admitted that he was nervous after the game, and maybe that's all it was. I mean, he was playing his old team, the team that just gave up
that's
on
right.
him, in front of, in the hockey mecca, his first chance. Yeah, there's probably some nerves early, and I think those nerves showed.
Even The Rock had nerves. Sorry, Dwayne Johnson.
If Dwayne can mess up, Dwayne can trip up.
Samsonov's allowed.
Anyone can trip up. But he found some comfort. And I think, again, mm-hmm. to tie a bow on it, that's the most important thing. After coming into a game where it's, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of things in your head, a big spot against a team, again, that you just played with for several seasons. Yeah, you could see how all that could affect the performance, but you could see how he settled in over the course of that game. I think that's the most important thing from last night.
For me, seeing the core four be the core four, especially after looking the way they did Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and doing that in the first period, for me, that's really important. You heard what Sheldon Keefe said Wednesday. There was no beating around the bush that he was disappointed and wanted more from this team and wanted more from his stars. The Leafs had 22 shots in the first period. 11 of them were high danger and 17 of them were scoring opportunities. That is the way you start a game, and that's the way you change the story. That's the way you say, we're here. We're not letting Wednesday be the way that we're perceived as a team. Nylander and Tavares had 5 shots each after the first period.
Mm-hmm.
They've looked great. Obviously, Austin Matthews gets the game winner, which is wasn't his finest. It was a little mid-tip, but you're in the right place.
Hey, those are the
goals.
Someone's
got to be clutch.
Those are the goals that the Maple Leafs weren't getting last year.
Exactly.
Where it's like, you know, it seemed like that's how Jack Campbell was beaten all of last year. And like Austin Matthews mm-hmm. scoring these amazing goals. Mm-hmm. And then someone just loses control of someone in front and there's a tip. And, you know, that you got to score that way, too.
That's right.
And they found a way to score that way, too, and take the lead in the game and win it.
And they weren't. They didn't let off. And the thing I liked most about Austin Matthews is he was so physical. And mm-hmm. his game escalates to another level when he's laying the body. He's already very extremely dangerous all over the ice. That's a given. But when you add the fact that he's a big guy, he can lay his body And he did that. I think that even dials him in more. Gets the crowd going.
That's what I was
going
to say.
And it that was important.
It does something to the crowd.
So for him to do that, for Willie and Johnny to look the way they are, Marner to still be the creative playmaker he is, for the core four to say, erase Wednesday, we're here now, squeak out a win. I think the score, I think we can, it was a bit tighter than we had wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But you outplayed Alexander Ovechkin. I didn't barely saw him out there. That's Alexander Ovechkin. That was the sniper showdown. Auston Matthews versus Ovi. Both some of the greatest goal scorers of our generation. Right, we didn't see those high-profile goals. But if you are able to outplay one of the best ever, it's a huge win.
Yeah, it's not a prolific start per se for the top four, but it's a really, really encouraging start. And there's different reasons to believe that, mm-hmm. but responding after a brutal start to the season, the second half of a back-to-back, with a combined 23 shots versus Washington, those top four guys, that's pretty impressive.
It's huge.
And that clearly is a product or was helped along by what was one of the best power plays we've seen from the Leafs mm-hmm. in some time, which resulted in John Tavares' goal to give them the lead at the time. Either way, first mm-hmm. period goal.
First period goal. And you know what happens when you get a first period goal, first goal of the game at Scotiabank Arena? Free pizza for everybody.
I got
to give away free pizza to everybody last night.
There you go.
What a way to start.
I thought you were going to say the other revelation, which was the goal song.
Okay, that's. We'll get to that after. But free pizza for everybody. It's a nice way to start.
That's a beautiful way to start. but I think the most encouraging thing from the top four, because we know what to expect from Matthews and Marner. We're going to get it. We're going to get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews, what, 10 shots, one goal? It's not going to be like that for very long. Mitch Marner hasn't been completely unleashed yet. But John Tavares and William Nylander, that's the big concern coming in. And they're playing very, very well. The numbers are very good. They look very good on that power play. Sometimes it's just like it's the Auston Matthews show on the power
that's
play.
That's right.
And the gravitational pull takes away from everything else. But William Nylander looks dangerous. And John Tavares, of course, you know, created a goal himself there by mm-hmm. making himself this big target where he could bank a shot in. Or have Riley bank a shot off him and in. So I love what I'm seeing from the second line. John Tavares doesn't look like he's being held back at all by that preseason injury. I don't know if he looks faster. I don't know if he looks fitter. I don't know if he looks anything yet, but he looks good right now, which is very, very important. And of course, William Nylander, he's still William Nylander in that there's small things that frustrate you about him. But when he's playing, when he's on, when he has those big moments, he can help you in a major, major way, and I think he's been good to start as well. So those four guys rolling is step one to competitiveness, mm-hmm. and I think they've got that right now.
Because you know that Matthews and Marner will take that next step. So if you're already feeling confident with half of the core four, and they're holding their own right now?
I think you have perma-confidence in Matthews and Marner.
Right.
Right?
So,
and if you're feeling it
you
for the
other two.
You
want more from them, but I would feel more confident that Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner will take that step than we had felt at times that Nylander and Tavares would make that step, but they're starting at a really good spot. So if you feel as confident as I do that the other two can continue to grow on this two-game sample size, mm-hmm. you're in a good spot. So Stars, core four, looking like they were ready to change the narrative last night.
Where do you want to go next?
Well, we should just touch on that goal song quickly.
Might as well.
So Leafs score first, and instantly boom, 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 hollow notes. I thought, oh, wait, yeah, that we talked about this for weeks, and oh.
Yeah, I was convinced it was going to change.
I was certainly convinced it was going to change.
I was surprised, and like, talk about PR machines, The Rock, the Leafs, same level. So, like, there's no way that they didn't know. There's no way that it was, like, a surprise to the players, too. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like quietly, okay, we're doing the same thing. I don't have as big of an issue with it as everybody else seems to have.
I don't have an issue with that. I just, like, if you're going to bring this into the media that you might change it, do it.
And, yeah, I guess it wasn't really their, I mean, the media brought it.
Of course.
But they played along, and they wanted it changed. And they were like, yeah, let's do something different. The Marner agreeing with Matthews and all that stuff. So that's why you expected it mm-hmm. to change. I didn't even really, like, everyone noticed right away. I was just like, oh, yeah, that is the same thing.
I like the wind song, as
wind
you said.
Wind song stayed the same.
But you know what?
Maybe the carrot is like, okay, we'll change the goal song, but you got to win a series this year.
Mm.
Otherwise, you don't have that power.
What do you think of players having their own goal songs? Because I saw that the Sabres announced that yesterday, and then you get to see, like, each player has this little creative moment where they pick a song. And
I think sometimes
tough on the board op guy, though.
Yeah. I think sometimes you got to save the player from themselves. Like, sometimes it's just not going to hit. And again, a lot of thought goes into this stuff. We talked about it. Like, a lot of thought goes into what is going to work, what is going to sound good, what's going to sound good in the arena, what's going to work on television. All that stuff, like, has to have some sort of impact here. And when someone goes completely off the rails and it just sounds like there's always a goof, right? There's always someone with a stupid song.
Yeah, but that's their choice.
But it just...
And then maybe you're like, oh, that guy's fun. Like, I didn't know you had... Had it
but
in him to play
sometimes it's
Shania
neither,
Twain.
Sometimes it's neither fun nor cool.
Yeah, yours would be neither fun nor cool.
That would be huge
yours
stress
would be
on
O Canada,
me.
Probably.
Mine would suck. Well, O Canada. O Canada's classic. New anthem singer last night, too.
Yeah, she's awesome. Natalie Morris. Okay, that was less important, but certainly an item of discussion.
I think the next biggest thing is that Keefe's message was received.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not often you go crazy after, not crazy, but it's not often that you are in mid-season form from a curmudgeon standpoint after night one. But I think that sort of tells the tale in terms of importance with this team and how they need to get off to a good start.
And they responded
well.
How
important the division is, how they can't get complacency setting in at any point this year. But the most encouraging thing, or at least from that story, is that the response was there. You mentioned it. What was 21-22 shots in the first period? I mean, that is urgency. That is, hey, we were bad last night. Let's be great tonight. That's exactly what it felt like. It could have been a negative response. Coaches put themselves in, they put themselves out on a limb when they act that way or when they respond that way. And it's on, you really figure out something about the team and the relationship with the coach when those moments happen. And that's why it was a gamble to do it so early, because it's like, hey, dude, we just started. Can we chill for a second?
And you don't have a lot of those bullets, I think.
You don't. That's the perfect way to put it. You don't have a lot of those bullets. So if you use one right away, it can work adversely. In this case, I thought the response was there, which says a lot about Sheldon Keefe's respect level, at least I think.
Mm-hmm.
Could be making, again, a little bit too much of a deal of it, but it could also go the other way. And if it goes the other way, it's so much more bigger and important than the response not being there.
And I don't want to bring us back to the Blue Jays, but remember when John Schneider took over and the response of that team?
I think it was right, significant to bring that up. Yeah.
He was able to make some lineup changes that were questionable, putting Bo down in like the sixth spot at one point, being able to tweak, and they responded well to that.
Mm-hmm.
Much different. This is game two of the regular season for the Maple Leafs, but there's that respect level that you're going to put in your coach early. You're going to respond. You know, they have a big couple days ahead. They have got tomorrow, Battle of Ontario, another big matchup. You got your former goalie probably playing against his former team. It's Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. You're trying to build on your home opener. Maybe Dwayne Johnson feels like coming back. We'll see. I'll text him later.
Making amends.
You've got Monday, which is kind of a snooze fest against Arizona, but you can put a huge stamp on that game. Another home game, and then you got Thursday. Like, there's a lot of opportunity for the Leafs to get going here, and it starts with your home opener being a success, finding lots of positives. I think we're all feeling much better this morning than we were yesterday morning. So,
and I think the urgency from Keefe is maybe twofold. It's memories of last season where it's like, hey, we can't dig a little hole again. But it's also the situation and goal. Like, we have to give some confidence to these guys. We have to make sure that we have our goaltenders start on the right foot. And if we just came off a game where we hung Matt Murray out to dry to a certain extent, how were those goals scored? Odd man rushes, breakdowns defensively. If we get into that scenario where we don't give these goaltenders who have maybe their confidence teetering a little bit after both being humbled this offseason or in recent seasons, then we might be in trouble here. But if they start on the right foot, because we started on the right foot, then we're giving them a chance to recover that confidence. And I think that's a big thing. And of course, the way they started last year is not something you want to repeat. So the opportunity is there to still have a great start despite having a bad start. If they're 3-1 when we're talking on Tuesday, that's going to be fantastic. And that's something to build on. But if they're 0-2 out of the gate, it makes getting 2-2 pretty difficult. So the response was there. Clearly, that's important.
I thought that Hall and Muzzin looked better.
Yes.
And that was a massive glaring issue on Wednesday night. If we look for, it's a two-game sample size, everybody. But I think leaving Wednesday night and coming into Thursday morning, why are these two playing together? Here we go again. They look it's subpar.
The context is the backdrop of a season that was
exactly
a nightmare for both.
They looked better. Justin Hall made some important plays down the stretch, blocking shots on Ovi, who, there we go, finally got a little bit of shine in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He was steady. Danielli has that he played the third highest time on ice of any Leafs defenseman. 4 blocks, 2 hits. He was strong. That's small response as well. They weren't liabilities this time around. I would say that Justin Hall didn't really get a warm welcome from the Leafs fans last night.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, so they did. Another side note. Elite.
Go on
timing.
Go on the tangent. Let's go.
Elite timing on the intros. Okay, I was there waiting. All right, let's go. Boom, in and out. Players skate on the ice hard, get to the blue line. Next player out. Boom, 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 boom. Wonderful. The contrast between Wednesday night and last night,
right. They
panned through the coaching staff rapidly. Boom, 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 boom. This is everybody that works for us. Boom, boom, boom. These are all our players. These are our leadership. Boom. Okay, let's do the anthems. Let's wrap this up. Let's play hockey. That's how you do it. But Justin Hall was first announced, and maybe we just weren't ready as a collective
that's good context,
crowd,
then.
But it was like, hey, Justin Hall, and it was like, oh, okay. And then it got louder and louder, so I'm hoping that maybe the fact that he got the lowest amount of cheers was just because he was first.
Yeah, but, I mean, it might also be because he's Justin Hall to a certain extent. I mean, I think he's got to win back the confidence of Leaf fans to a certain degree. The number probably didn't help at all. But I think the best thing about the introductions, speed was 1A. 1B was including Rodion Amirov.
Oh, so that was so sweet. He got one of the loudest cheers.
It was awesome.
I don't think anybody really knew that he would be a part of that or was there or expected him.
I read that he was going to be in the, like he was hanging out with the team.
It was really, really sweet. It's really special.
I feel like it was like Carl Dahlstrom was before. And I was like, why are we going through?
And if Fraser Minton,
I thought he was a Scotiabank skater. The Kyle Dubas comparisons were there.
Very young looking.
He looks more intelligent. Like there's like guys who are like, remember there was a Leaf drafted. I won't bury him, but he did a press conference after he was drafted in the 7th round a couple years ago. And one of the questions was when he did his intro was like, okay, you're going to Harvard. What are you majoring in? And he's like, oh, I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet. I'm like, Harvard, you haven't figured out what you're, isn't that the point of the institution is to, you know, athletics, okay, but like you can't go to Harvard without proving yourself academically, or at least I thought.
Hey, Harvard, lowest of the Ivy Leagues. It's no Dartmouth.
I knew I was opening that door.
Come on.
I knew I was opening that door with you. But Fraser Minton looks Harvard ready. Let's get that guy a scholarship. I guess he's already played in Major Junior. Anyway.
That was really sweet.
It was a little random when it's like, oh, Carl Dahlstrom. Okay, why are we introducing him? But, you know, there was a pretty strong selection of players that they wanted to, that were there. And, of course, you can't introduce Amirov if you don't do it. Same with Dahlstrom,
for sure.
If they're all there. So that was great. But the Leafs did well with that opening. Of course, you can glean information from that as well, I guess, with Justin Hall. But otherwise, successful start.
What else stuck out to you? How about your fourth line, number one line in hockey? How'd they look to you last night?
Well, eye test versus analytics a little bit here. Because on the eye test, I'm like, wow, we're kind of wasting David Kampf here, right? Mm. Like this, what a season he had, mainly shutting down the opposition, but coming up with some like important offensive moments here and there. Did he really deserve a demotion? Did he deserve to go from the third line to the fourth line this year? Are we giving Alex Kerfoot the benefit of the doubt over him because he
makes... Nice assist last night, though.
Yes, because he makes $3.5 million. Like, what did David Kampf do to earn a demotion? And then I'm looking at the other fourth line for Washington, who's playing head-to-head with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and doing well. They scored the first goal, and they were pesky and annoying. Mm-hmm. And they caused the Leafs' top line to maybe get away from their game for a little bit, at least momentarily. So I'm thinking, like, okay, we don't have that, and we have David Kampf demoted. So what's going on here? Is this an unoptimized top six? It kind of looks that way.
Did that have to do maybe with the fact that him and Kasha looked so good together and that was an identity, and now there's uncertainty about, you know, what he's bringing, where to put him, what the line identity is?
I think it's a role, like, it's a role thing. Did he deserve a demotion and role? And that's what it feels like. But then you look at the numbers and, oh, his highest overlap was Alex Ovechkin, who did absolutely nothing at even strength when David Camp was on the ice with Alex Ovechkin. So he's still doing his job. It just seems less noticeable, and maybe that it's not all on him because the Kerfoot, Yarncroak, Engvall line is getting some of that matchup as well. But I think why it's not as obvious, and I think with Kasha you bring up a great point, is that Obey Kubel and Aston Reese aren't yet noticeable. And part of that is being in the role that they're in, where it's like, hey, slide in with David Camp and he's going to shut down Ovechkin and you're going to just quietly do your job. And I think that's part of it. But that impact, that speed, I'm not seeing it yet from those two. And I wonder if they're going to take David Camp out of the equation slightly. But then you get a look at the numbers and he did his job last night and there shouldn't be anything to worry about. So it's kind of, I'm still working through this process.
And that's fine. The bottom six can be a work in progress. I think the players, the puzzle pieces are there. It's just about fitting them maybe. And that's okay, because there's been times where it's like, oh, we're really lacking for skill or for any impact from these guys. I think that can certainly be something that these six players, maybe seven or eight, if you add... What, I'm surprised we haven't seen Robertson yet on that emergency recall basis. I think
just can until someone's out.
It was expected, though, that they'd find a way yesterday, I believe.
Really?
The conversation was that they'd try to find a way to get him in when we looked. When he first got sent down to the Marlies, I'm not alone in this. I saw it all over, that they would be able to recall him on an emergency basis sometime this week.
I think that maybe things changed. I think that was under the impression Tavares
wouldn't play. Well, that makes
something.
Sense. But I'm okay with Dennis Malgin getting this time and this opportunity now.
Yeah, I mean...
Denny
and the Jets is pretty good.
Ah, I've been waiting for that one.
Well, I guess Nylander and Tavares aren't exactly...
Denny.
Jet-worthy. But they're performing, and Malgin seems to be... it's not like overwhelming. Like, wow, Dennis Malgin. But it's like it was with Galchenyuk right now, where it just works. It works in the moment. And until it doesn't work, it does work. So you keep going with it. Good to see Yarncroak get on the board. A great pass, as you mentioned, from Kerfoot. Mm-hmm. Engvall looks a little bit timid, cautious, maybe affected by his injury that he was dealing with in the preseason and training camp. But other than that, it looks like it's a work in progress still, but it looks encouraging all across the board. And I think you mentioned it with Justin Hall and Jake Muzzin. We were worried about them after night one. Maybe some of that worry goes to Morgan Rielly and TJ Brody, who have been on the ice for a lot of even strength goals to start the season. But, you know, this is early season stuff. They're finding a way to both contribute offensively in addition to, you know, working through some things defensively. So all told, I think it's pretty positive after last night.
Hall and Muzzin allowed no high danger chances and one singular shot at 5-on-5. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Just saying. They're back. I thought the PK again looked really great. I'm very curious to why there's a penalty called every 3 or 4 minutes. But is this? Some of them are not justified. Seems like a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's been a while since I've watched hockey, but it seems like there's a lot of penalties being called.
It's been a while since you've watched the first round between the Leafs and the Lightning.
Yeah.
When... there was like a mandate. Let's call a lot of penalties. Let's keep the pitchforks and torches away from us because we want to make sure that we're calling the game the same way we do in the regular season. And yet within two rounds or a couple weeks, the whistles are away and they're playing prison rules hockey all the way to the Stanley Cup final. So I think that's what's annoying, is that the standard changes. But the standard changes literally in every sport. Like, it's not just a hockey thing. Seeing with the NFL, with the quarterbacks and all that stuff. I guess we can get into Thursday Night Football in a bit here.
Yeah.
But real tough. but this is the expectation early on. And the Leafs know that. Players have been around long enough to know it. Sheldon Keefe certainly knows it. Maybe it's welcome because the power play looked so good, at least early on in that game. And that could help out that start for that top four. If they can get out there, man advantage, keep working at it, mm-hmm. keep piling up the points. That's how you create those vibes when everyone's involved and everyone's feeling good about their games because they're putting the puck in the net.
You got any more game notes from last night? By the way, we're going to have a couple guests on this too. Luke Fox is going to join us at 7. Obviously, we got our guy, Charles Davis, bumped to 7:30. Extra sleep for our buddy, Davey. And then we got Haley Salavian joining us at 8. So lots of hockey to sprinkle through.
We can probably shelve it. I want to ask Luke about the starter intrigue that I'm trying to manufacture. I want to ask him about David Camp's deployment, rather. But other than that, other than the fact that we have to settle for another season of You Make My Dreams, I think we pretty much touched on it. And now, Thursday
you know what
night
didn't
football.
Make my dreams come true was that brutal Thursday night football game. So I'm in a tough spot this year. I'm doing the in-arena hosting for the Leafs, and that means I get home past 11:30 mm-hmm. each night. Which means that I have a lot of work to do when I get home.
I don't know.
Great opportunity, and I've accepted the difficulties of not sleeping much.
You had your arm wrapped around the rock, so.
Yeah, I get to touch the rock. Totally worth it. But I got home, and, you know, lots to catch up on. I looked at that Thursday night football game, and I said, I don't even care. This is a snooze fest. I opened up Twitter, and people are asking Amazon for refunds because of how bad Thursday night football has been. They want a refund from it. This is Americans because they got to pay for it. Mm-hmm. They want refunds from Amazon because these Thursday night matchups are so trash.
They started off good too. I was like, oh, they fixed Thursday night early on the season. I'm like, oh, they fixed Thursday night. That's great. That was as bad of a football game as you're ever going to see.
My eyes were bleeding, and I watched the last 6 minutes.
I saw just like 2 minutes here and there, a little bit in the intermission of the Leafs mm-hmm. game. And I saw one drive from the Commanders where Curtis Samuel, who I put in the parlay, by the way, literally was just dropping the easiest passes. Like Carson Wentz at a certain point was like 5 for 17 throwing the ball. And it's like, well, part of it's on you, but Curtis Samuel just literally looked a ball into his chest and saw it fall to the floor, to the turf. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, they were so, so bad. Everybody so, so bad with both those teams. How they've each won 2 games through 5 weeks is beyond me. I don't even, like, we got to go back to the, like, who lost to these teams? How is that possible? They are brutal. Thursday night has been brutal. I hope Al Michaels is happy.
Poor Al Michaels.
No, not poor Al Michaels because he's got Amazon money. He's like Huel from Breaking Bad, just lying back on a bed of money.
Oh, that's a good reference.
But dreaming about touchdowns because he's never going to see any again.
He said last night that he...
And he doesn't care anymore, too. He's just
his jokes are hilarious.
Yeah, and that's all he's got. He's got a joke. He's got to laugh because otherwise he'd have to cry.
These are some of the things he said. This is the type of game you'd have as a 5th regional on CBS on Sunday. It's first and goal. Words I thought I would never speak
he
tonight.
He said that?
Yeah.
He said 5th game on CBS regional?
I believe so. I'm reading some quotes here.
I hope that's not fake news, but...
The Broncos fans are leaving. Deadpan Al Michael. They've had enough. Feels like there's been terrible offense. What do you mean it feels like? He was having a quote off last night. He said that he would threaten to retire if there's another bad Thursday night football dud.
I mean, it makes perfect sense that he can just like go off and be a stand-up comic all of a sudden because A, he's been paid. B, he's got tenure. C, he probably doesn't have another job. This is it. So Amazon gave him the bag, but they're not giving him good games. And now he can kind of just say whatever he wants, which is great. Unfiltered Al Michaels is pretty good.
Kirk just missed time there by Samuel. That's a touchdown. Al Michaels, God forbid. Quote.
And the best part of it is, okay, go ahead.
It was just the last one was, if we don't have a better game than we had last Thursday, I may retire. I've done pretty close to 800 NFL games. With all due respect, guys are trying. I understand. We know that, but that was grim.
That's the best part. The contrast is like Kirk Herbstreit's such like a trying to be a positive guy, pro. And he's like, he wants it to be good so badly, and Al's just like, I'm not going to fake it.
I got one last one for you. sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I mean? No.
That's perfect. That was Herb Street that said
yeah.
He was trying to
so
spin.
Good.
He was trying to spin the positive, and
good
Michael was just like, nah.
Anyway, that was a tough game. Sorry to everybody that had to. And it's good thing was you got a great Leafs game to put main screen.
What's funny is, like, Herb Street's kind of right, because it was a really good ending to the game. Fields had like a 40-yard run inside the five to the, all they had to do, punch it in. They win. They have four plays inside the five. It goes to fourth and goal. The catch is made literally an inch behind the goal line. Like, it was a great ending to what was otherwise just awful.
And there's some incredible matchups this weekend. I mean,
yes, there are.
Look at you got Bills Chiefs. So you can just quickly forget about what you had to witness last night and tune in to week six.
NFL's got to straighten this out. They got to get some decent games on Thursday night.
Isn't there another dud next week or 2 weeks from now? It's just, we have to see those guys play again on a Thursday, regardless.
Well, not again. One of the teams.
Well, maybe. One of the teams. Yeah, of course. They got to pick it up. It's been rough. Somebody texted in. If you ever wondered what football was like in 1957, that was it.
Michael's had a good quote about that, too. It was like something about a game that was 73-0. Like, I don't know if it was like a comparison. He's like, and if you're wondering, they did cover the spread.
We'll set all that up with Charles Davis at 7:30. But I think that's pretty much all I have to say about that Thursday night football game.
I'm surprised we even got to it.
Yeah. Good on us. Let's take a break because there is some football in the A-list up next. Going back on some of your comments you made before, that's what a head coach did. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Before we get into the A-list, I just need to follow up on a comment that was made by Justin Cuthbert. He said, quote, "You didn't really look that small next to the Rock." End quote. You said it. For context, I did some digging during the break. The Rock is 6'2", 262 pounds. His chest is 50 inches. Waist, 35 inches. Biceps, 23 inches. Biceps are bigger than my head. And you said that I didn't really look that small next to the Rock, so.
Okay, it was more of a comment on height. You said he's 6'2". I'm taller than you. I'm 5'8". You're not, like, looking up at
Okay,
him.
There's angles. I'm closer
okay,
to the
so
camera.
Okay, so clearly the angles were in play here.
Well, think about it.
I'm not gonna be able to defend the quote.
We weren't standing back to back.
It's a bad quote.
And I was wearing a small amount of heel, but I wasn't wearing 8-inch heels, Justin.
Listen, you're both former professional athletes.
That's right. Who can bench more? Setting the odds in the Waken rig.
One of the two athletes might have like a little bit more total muscle mass, but otherwise we're talking about equals here in terms of athletic potential.
Oh, don't try to suck up to me now. You have the same athletic potential as The Rock.
I mean
what I said.
You played professionally. What's the top league, second best league in the world or best league in the world?
Whatever, yeah.
Best league in the world?
Sure.
The Rock played in the second best league in the world for football. Okay. So there you go.
I'm a better athlete than The Rock. My column. That's on the A-list.
Hey, yo.
The A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing.
What's up, baby?
Ron Rivera's in a tough spot. He's down bad. Last week he was honest, maybe to a fault, because now he's doubling down and he's pretty pissed. This is what he said last week. Let's just start with that.
Why do you think the teams in the division are farther ahead at this point?
Quarterback. The truth is that this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the teams that have been able to sustain success, they've been able to build it around a specific quarterback.
Okay. I think that's an accurate statement. Do you agree?
100%. He's kind of Al Michaels territory, where he's been around, has enough street cred that he can kind of say whatever he wants. He can tell the truth, and that's the truth. Carson Wentz isn't good enough.
Thursday night rolls around. He's talking to the media. And he just goes in on that, you know, ESPN report that he might force the team to trade. Obviously, it's brought up after the snooze fest of last night. This is what he ends up saying last night.
So honestly, I'm gonna speak my mind for a second. It's been hard. It really has. You lose four games in a row, and everybody wants to get you, you know, just get on you. And they've played their asses off. They have. They play their asses off for everybody. They come out and they show up. They work hard. All right. They don't complain. Okay. They hear all this stuff and they got to deal with it. I get that. And I respect them for that because they're resilient. They come back. Everybody keeps wanting to say, I didn't want anything to do with Carson. Well, bull. I'm the guy that pulled out the sheets of paper, that looked at the analytics, that watched the tape in the freaking, when we were at Indianapolis. Okay. And that's what pisses me off. Because the young man doesn't deserve to have that all the time.
He sounds like you doubling down.
Nah, he made it bad.
He's trying to take back your words and give me praise after you called me out.
I mean, at least I had some argument there. Like, I was able to pull on some different lever.
But this is a tough
look. He just had a little tantrum.
He had a tantrum.
He put himself in this position. He also has the opportunity, like, he's got a potential answer. I'm not saying Sam Howell is going to be Peyton Manning, but if you have acknowledged that you can't win with Carson Wentz, that Carson Wentz is now like in a position where he's taking so much whatever Rivera said, and that is unfair. Well, it is fair because he can't play the position well enough at this level, and you could breathe life into your team, the team that you think is playing so hard, by just going to the quarterback that you drafted in the last year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
There's hype around this guy. He wasn't like a top pick, but he's a guy who might be able to give you better minutes at that position. And if that option is there, go to it. That's all you got left. Go to it. It's clearly not going to work with Carson Wentz. You admitted as much. And now we've seen it play out again.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be an icky season, to say the least.
It's icky.
Like, do you think you're going to practice today or tomorrow?
It could be better if you just made the change at quarterback.
Yeah. Anyway, just thought we'd throw it in because you guys are kind of in the same boat with your comments.
I know. This is two different boats. But he's got a big rock-sized boat. I'm in an Ailish-sized boat.
Oh, but they're pretty close. The boats are, one's a yacht and one's a mega yacht.
Angles. If angles. You angle the small boat in front of the big boat.
Is that
boat,
how it works?
They can look similar sizes.
So the Toronto Maple Leafs did something helpful for everybody that covers the team. They did a little video with their new faces, the pronunciation of their names. We should just play this now before we move forward and talk Toronto Maple Leafs hockey all season long, so everybody knows the situation.
Hi, my name is Matt Murray, pronounced Matt Murray, and my nicknames are Murr and Murdoch.
Hello, my name is Ilya Samsonov. My nickname, Sammy.
Hi, my name is Zach Aston Reese. People call me Reeser or Czar.
I'm Jordy Ben, pronounced Jordy Ben. And my nicknames, I've got a few. Benner, Benny, Joe Ben, and an old one, Darth.
Hi, my name is Mark Giordano, pronounced Mark Giordano. I only have one nickname. It's Gio.
Hi, I'm Nick Obey-Cubel. Obey is French. Cubel is English. Guys call me Cube, AK, or Nick.
My name is Kalle Järnkrok, and that's how we pronounce it. Kalle Järnkrok. And my nickname is Jarny.
Hi, guys. My name is Dennis Malgin. Dennis Malgin. My nickname is Malgi.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. A lot of weird nicknames, but that's for another day. Samsonov.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've spent the whole offseason, Samsonov, I ingrained that into my skull.
Apparently,
Samsonov
is what he told the Washington media while he was there.
He's changing it now. Samsonov.
I have a bigger issue with Obey-Cubel.
Because he said Obey-Cubel, and then he said Obey-Cubel.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are saying it twice, partly for effect, but also to drive home the pronunciation.
That one confused me.
And he said two different things.
But Kalle Järnkrok. He said it so eloquently. Like, Kalle Järnkrok.
That was a curveball at the end. It's like Kalle.
Kalle.
There's no lay. It's like Kalle.
Kalle.
Kalle Jarnkrok.
How do we get that end clip one more time? Can we actually have that as a drop? So anytime we have to talk about Jarnkrok, we just...
My name is Kalle Jarnkrok, and that's how we pronounce it. Kalle Jarnkrok. And my nickname is Jarny.
Kalle. It's definitely Kalle.
We could go with Jarny. I don't even think I said that right, though. Also, Giordano.
Like, okay, but that's good. That's good clarification, because Gio is his nickname. So you want to say Giordano, but it's Giordano.
Giordano. It's like Giacomo. We should have known that.
Giacomo. He's already texted in 601.
He's our guy.
Anyway, now everybody knows.
Obi Kubel. Like, you can't say it differently. Now we have no idea what to go on.
Why do you think Jordy Ben's nickname is Darth? He said it's an old one. We got to dig that out.
No, I don't know.
What was yours? Kathy, JC, boring.
Those are the three. What was yours?
Fours. Ale. A. Sniper.
Ale. A. Sniper.
I'm just kidding. Obviously, it wasn't Sniper. The Mini Rock.
That's
bodybuilder.
You're
extraordinaire.
Like, you're like Stone Boulder, something like
Beef.
That.
Beef. Beefy. great. Thanks for that. Luke Fox, after the break, easy name to pronounce. Maybe he knows the Darth background. Maybe he was pumped up to see me versus The Rock battle it out last night. I don't know. He's next on The Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.